feel it important to begin my sermon today with a little bit of a confession, and that is that I know very little to nothing about any agricultural image. I didn't grow up in it. I lived in a suburban neighborhood in Lakeville, and so all of the knowledge that I will present to you today was found on the glorious, very scholarly source called Wikipedia. So if you want to check my work, you're welcome to after Mass with a quick Google search. So as our Lord was presenting in the Gospel today, this imagery of the vine and the branches. And one of the things that any vine grower would know about is what's called grafting. It's where you take the host plant and you prepare to bring other vines or branches into it. And there's actually quite a phenomenal science that goes along with this, and the symbolism that accompanies it is absolutely amazing. Only the Lord of life, who created all things, would be able to layer this with such detail, even before the agricultural sciences have grown up to be what they are today. So to depict this for you, I want to give a little display. Deacon and I will act this out before you. So my deacon was the closest I could find to an Ent from the Lord of the Rings series, and so he will be my host plant. So deacon, can you give me a little Hodoku? Thank you. All right. So deacon is going to be the host plant that I'm going to be grafted onto. Now, in order to do this, you would have to cut the host plant into a V shape, as you can see here. And then the plant who's going to go into it is basically at a point. It goes into the host plant, and you bind it together with some string, yarn, or some kind of thing that will keep it close together. Now, if it is not attacked by bacteria or the elements around it, the host will take the receiving plant into itself, and sap will begin to flow through it. Now, here's where this image is so incredibly profound that Jesus gives us. Is as long as we abide and stay close to Jesus, the sap, the Holy Spirit, will flow through us. But if we begin to go off on our own, we will wither and fade, just like he says in the gospel. That was my withering, okay? Deacon, thank you very much. Very well done. So what we see in what Jesus is giving to us is a testimony and an example to live up to. Now, what's so fascinating about this is he's inviting us to graft onto himself the host. And it's almost a play on words where we, as Christians, receive the host, or the bread of life, or the Eucharist. But what happens after that is that the sap begins to flow. So once again, my suburban nature had to Google search, how does sap move? Because I always just figured that the tree just tried really hard and just moved the sap up. But it turns out that's not how it happens. Surprise. It happens through pressure. It happens through evaporation, through gravity. So during the day, when the sun is shining upon the tree, the water will evaporate from the tree, and so it pulls up from the roots the nutrients, and it moves the sap through the tree. At night, when there is no sap, when there is no light upon the tree, it is then that gravity begins to push pressure down and move the sap in the opposite direction. What's so profound about this, it is the natural elements that move it. And again, here's where we see a lesson in our own Christian discipleship. Evaporation, the lifting up. This is where we as Christians are often told things like, offer it up. Or even when we're in Mass, lift up your hearts, is literally something going up to the heavens. Now, if you've ever kind of experienced this, where you're carrying a heavy burden, and you suddenly get the courage or the insight to lift it up to God, it does feel almost like something like sap begins to flow within us. Of course, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then this element of pressure. Now, we also get to feel this element of pressure every so often, and we call it the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And we feel it sometimes where it's like, I gotta go pray. And it's like this pressure that we feel upon us. And if we give heed to that inspiration, we feel the presence of the Lord just well up within us. But we have to give way to that pressure. Because so often other things will beckon our attention, like Netflix or the news or going out to see this person or calling this person or reading this thing or going for a walk or doing this chore or checking off another thing from our list. And it's like we no longer feel the presence of God and we're confused. And part of the reason why we don't feel the presence is we're not heeding to the pressure and feeling the sap of the Spirit move within us. Now, those first two things are very consoling. Being grafted onto Jesus, oh. feeling the sap of the Holy Spirit. Oh. And then the third part, which no one likes, the pruning, where the bush has to get cut down in order to bear more fruit. Now, here's the strange thing, is we like to think of this as a villainous activity. You're cutting, you're hacking, you're getting rid of, bad things are going on. But what the gospel says, it's the Father is the vine grower. The Father in heaven, our good God, is the one that prunes the vine. Now, I encountered this firsthand down in my little suburban home when my grandmother, who lived in Loretto, baptized in this church, she gave us what's called, in my vocabulary, a snowball plant. All right, it's the little plants that grow up and they have the snowball flowers in the spring. I've learned now they're called hydrangeas in big people words. And so we had hydrangeas planted on the side of our house, and they were my favorite. Every spring, with these huge flowers. And I remember coming around the house in one of the fall, and we're raking leaves and cleaning up, getting ready for the fall. And my dad had taken these hedge clippers and just cut the plant all the way down to the bottom. And I totally freaked out. I'm like, Dad, you wrecked my favorite plant. Why did you do this? Grandma's going to be so upset. And he goes, Nate, just calm down. It'll be fine in the spring. Of course, I didn't believe him. There's no way what you've done to that plant can be restored. Sure enough, the spring comes and the plant begins to grow with new vibrancy. More flowers come year after year. But it needed that pruning to grow even more. My father was not the villain, but actually the hero in that story. Now, so often what happens to us is when we're undergoing hardships, difficulties, trials, when we're asked to fast, do penance, and to refrain from the things of this earth, we think, not fair, I don't like it, no way. We like to villainize it. But actually what it is it's an act of love that's pruning us to become something even more. We know that age-old story of Michelangelo who, as he's carving, he sees the image of what he wants inside the marble, and he hacks away everything that is not that image until an angel emerges from the marble. We, in our own way, need to kind of be hacked every so often because we're not really flawless quite yet. And the pruning that occurs is solely for the purpose of growth. But it takes faith to believe that even in the midst of trial and difficulty, that good will eventually come. And the temptation then, in the midst of pruning, is I want to pull away from the host and do it my own. But it's exactly when we're being pruned that we need to lean in, so that when that spring comes, the sap will flow and new life will come. Indeed, the invitation to abide that Jesus gives to us today is an invitation to stay close to him in both the good times when it's flourishing, as well as those times of pruning. And to watch how our vine dresser, our Father in heaven, has good plans for us and desires to bring forth fruit in our lives, if only we're willing to just undergo a little bit of suffering in this life. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, this is a great image as we come forward for communion, as we receive our own grafting onto the host of life, to literally experience that Holy Spirit welling up within us and filling us with the life to go forth and bear incredible fruit in this world.